just the want to chat quickly about timing. Just want to clarify the title. Jesus is everything, timing is important. Okay, but that's just the well-known phrase, timing is everything. You've heard that before, maybe your golf coach taught you that, you know, it's all in the timing, or the cricket coach or whatever. You often hear it in sports circles, maybe even investing. I don't know, you've got to hit that high on the prices exactly right. Got some people in fruit export in church and these kind of things. You need to, timing is very, very important. And it's important to God as well. We're going to just explore this a little bit this morning in good, quick time. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 to 5. When the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. When the set time had fully come, Jesus came. Why are we here this morning? We are here to worship Jesus Christ. He is our everything. And do you think it would be important to God to determine at which time he sent Jesus? Do you think God considered that? Everything that God has done is and does and will do is calculated. We've got to understand our God is not like we are in terms of often the way we think and these kind of things. That's why we've got to bring ourselves in line with his thoughts and his will, which is above ours. We've got to come up higher. We've got to get up there so that we can see things the way he sees things. Like Charlene was explaining to us last week as well, as one aspect of it. We've got to understand that we make a lot of mistakes and presumption plays a big part in our thinking process. And when it comes to God, everything is calculated. Everything is exact and precise in the way he does things. Now, a lot of things happen that is not God's doing. It's our doing or the enemy has a hand in. But the things that God does, unmistakably, very calculated. And God can do anything in any way and as quickly as he wants to do it. He chose to make the world in 6 days. He could have done it instantaneously, in a split second, everything. Or he could have taken longer than 6 days, but he did it in 6 days. And even that's more than impressive enough for me to defer to him with all my questions and issues. We've got to understand God doesn't make mistakes. Everything is calculated. And so he made everything good and perfect. We messed it up. And from the beginning, he knew he would have to send his son to make things right again. And we've asked this question before, well, why didn't he send Jesus straight away? You know, why didn't, when Adam and Eve were covering themselves with leaves and God was walking in the cool of the day, calling them, and they were hiding from him, why didn't he have Jesus with him there? Say, Adam and Eve, can I introduce you to Jesus? Okay, Jesus, come here quickly. Let's make this thing right. Let's do it. Why didn't it happen that way? There's many questions that we can have, but I think some of the answers are more obvious than others. But the fact of the matter is Jesus came at the set time. God had appointed a time for Jesus to come. From the beginning, he knew exactly when he would send Jesus. He knew exactly how many prophets he would raise up to proclaim the coming of Christ. He knew the powerful testimony that the flood and the ark would be in adding to the expectation of Christ, the story of Abram and Isaac, that would add to the expectation of Christ, all of these things, the death of the firstborns in Egypt, Herod that would want to take Christ out when he eventually did come. Everything was calculated. God had to get mankind to the best possible place where we would have the best possible chance of being able to receive Christ. And where he would be able to fulfill his mission. Christ also didn't just come at the right time. He came at the right time and he fulfilled exactly what he needed to fulfill without setting one foot out of line. He was without sin. He was fully obedient. So he came when the prophets had prepared the way for him, and the last prophet, John the Baptist, who Jesus called the greatest of the Old Testament, and the way was prepared, the people were ready. Hearts, there was critical mass, sufficient number of hearts that were ready to receive Christ. 12 men that were already chosen before time, that were ready at that point to walk 3 years with Christ during his ministry years. Everything was ready. Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. I mean, maybe any other woman in history would have run away and said, no ways. But she said to Gabriel, yes, when he brought the message. And so Christ, who fulfilled every messianic prophecy in the Old Testament, a chance that no one else in history could have come close to doing, he came at the right time, born of the Virgin Mary, lived the life that he lived, growing in stature and in favor with God and man, started his public ministry at 30, had his disciples following him, teaching them the way. Then he was accused, brought before trial. Those men's hearts, they were also used. And God had all of this under control, used by the enemy to crucify Jesus. Barabbas that would be set free. The two robbers hanging on the cross beside Jesus. Everything was just as God had ordained it. So that today we are sitting with a message of hope and salvation, which you will find in no other name, but in Jesus alone. Died on the cross, buried, 3 days later rose from the dead. God's perfect timing. Commissioning the 12, who brought with them another 108 in the upper room, all filled with the Holy Spirit, start preaching the gospel. First day, 3,000 saved. Next day, another 5,000. And it keeps on going and growing throughout the world, where Christianity today is the biggest faith movement ever in history. The Bible is the most widely produced and distributed book across the world. Bestseller in every nation. And we can boldly say Jesus Christ rules and reigns. He came at the set time. And when that set time had fully come, everything was exactly ready. God doesn't make mistakes. Timing is very important to God. Had Christ come earlier, had Christ come later, it would have been a mistake. We would have not been sitting here today. Think how it happened in your own life. Did Christ come into your life at exactly the right time? I think yes. Was there destruction in your life before that time? I think yes. Would you have received Christ if he had showed up before your set time when you did make the commitment? I think no. Christ came at exactly the right time. I can say anything. I wish God had saved me when I was like 1 year old, so I wouldn't have caused all that nonsense that I caused for 25 years. But okay, I wouldn't have received him then. Okay, I wish Christ had come when I was when I just got my license. And when I just was allowed to go out to the pubs and stuff. I wish Christ came into my life on that day. No, Christ came at exactly the right time. When I was ready to receive my friends and family that maybe don't know him yet. Let me tell you, their set time has not come yet. What is our job? Our job is to pray for them. And no, we don't have all knowledge. We are not omniscient like God. So we don't know when it's going to come so we can wait before we start praying. I'm going to pray the day before because I know when they're going to come. No. Our job is to pray now. God alone can save. None of us are sitting here. None of us saved ourselves. We didn't find God, to use that expression. God found us. He saved us when our set time had fully come. I'm going to take you to Habakkuk 2 and verse 3. The vision is yet for an appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie. Though it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late. Let me tell you, I know all about this. I'm late. Okay. Quite often I'm late. God, He's never late. God is never, ever late. What does that mean for us? We think we're waiting for God for a breakthrough or an answer. We think we're waiting for Him. What in reality is happening? Who's waiting for who? If God is not late, if He is never late, if He's always 100% on time, He's never early, He's never late, because let me tell you, the right thing at the wrong time is the wrong thing. The right thing too early is the wrong thing. The right thing too late is the wrong thing. The right thing at the right time is the right thing. God is always waiting for us. We never wait for God. Why is God waiting for us? What is He waiting for? Because God can't do it like this, right? What is He waiting for? What doesn't God give us instantly? Character. This is something we have to work through with God. This is something we have to partner. This is something where we have to cooperate in character. Because anything quickly gained is normally quickly lost. Most lottery winners, no matter how much you win, Powerball, bonus ball. I don't know what they call these things. I don't play the lottery. Okay? You win $1 million on the lottery tonight. Woohoo! Most lottery winners 3 years down the line are worse off financially than what they were before they won the lottery. Because you can't handle it. Your character can't handle it. Your character can't handle what God is going to give you next year. Next year, your character will be able to handle what God wants to give you next year. So why the wait? So that we can build character. What builds character? Nothing builds character like tough times. I've fallen on hard times, bro. Well, praise the Lord! You building some character, mate. Why did the Israelites take 40 years to make an 11-day journey in the desert? God had to weed out some things there. We had to build a nation that has got good character that can inherit the promised land. God's got promises that are waiting for each of us here. There's a promised land for us. There's parts of it that we've already claimed and taken and inhabited. But there's many parts, because we're still young here and we've still got a road to walk. There's many things that God still has in store for us that we can't handle just yet. We might have crossed the Jordan. You know, we might be well out of Egypt and the desert. We might have even taken our Jericho, but there's still a whole promised land waiting ahead of us. There's still lots of giants ahead that we are not ready for yet. Maybe the Joshua in us has been fully formed, but we're still waiting for the David to come. We've still got our Goliaths to slay. We need character for that. We need an unwavering faith in God. There's a lot of things that need to happen. And we think we're waiting for God for this breakthrough. No, God is waiting for us. We need to rejoice in tribulation and in trials. Produces perseverance. What is the requirement for the fulfillment of God's promises? Promise plus perseverance equals the fulfillment of that promise. We need to persevere, people. And I know some of us better than others. We've walked a road together, and I know we've been through some tough things. And I want to encourage you to keep persevering. Because in the end, it will not lie. God is not a man that he should lie. And he's not a respecter of person. He doesn't favor one person over another. So he's not blessing only a few handful of people over here while he's ignoring you on that side. That's wrong thinking. That's not God. God is good to everyone. Hey, he's making the sun to shine upon the just and the unjust this morning. God is not a respecter of person. The job is done. The job was done at the cross. It's available for everyone. God just requires our cooperation. And he's more interested in our character than our comfort. Anyone know how long Abraham waited for Isaac after he received the promise of Isaac? Anyone? Okay. Abraham was 80 years old when God promised him Isaac. Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. Abraham waited 20 years for the son of promise. You know? And we know about these kind of things and these kind of trials and the challenges that one faces when you're waiting. For instance, we know a lot of people, and you know a lot of people, and you are some of those people that have waited a long time for the promise of a child. And I can appreciate that is heart-wrenching. And maybe there's still some here, they're waiting for a child. And we've got friends that are. I want to encourage you this morning, don't lose heart. God is busy working in us. And God is good. And his promises are sure. If God birthed the desire in you to have a child, if he's given you a promise, you are going to have a child, then you will have a child. Might not come when you think the child will come. Might not come in the shape and the size and the form that you think. I don't know. I don't want to act in presumption. All I know is God is good. And if he gives us a promise, he will make good on that if we continue to follow him, if we continue to persevere. I know what it is like to wait for something or to think I'm waiting, but meantime God is waiting. But I know what it's like in that space between promise and fulfillment. And it's not always easy. Is that right? Not always easy. So I want to encourage us this morning. God is good. He doesn't lie. He will come through for us. Be patient. Psalm 37, verse 7 in the NIV says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." I.e., don't go running around trying to make up your own plans. Like Abraham and Ishmael. Let's not run around making own. Be still. Be content. Be patient. If you're patient, then you're not irritable. You're not upset. You're not angry. You're not trying to do it in your own strength. You're patient. Patience is a virtue, as they say. Patience is something that we struggle in. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Patience is a place of surrendering to God, patience is not something you can conjure up. It is a fruit of a life led in relationship with God. It comes if we stay close to God. Now, what happens when we become when we're impatient? We immediately we've turned an aspect of our relationship with God. We've denied, we've ignored, we've walked away from, because we are now no longer operating in the Spirit. We are being impatient, and you get the fruits of that is, you know, it manifests as irritability and anger and resentment and bitterness towards God. What are we doing when we act like that? We are delaying the promise. You're not going to get it quicker throwing a tantrum. I want to encourage you this morning. Wait patiently for the promise that God has laid on your heart. Wait patiently for it. What do you do while you're waiting? I love Fireproof. I must have watched it in quite a few times already. And love, while he's waiting for God to reconcile him and his wife, there's a song playing in the background that says, worship while you wait. When you're in that place between the promise and the fulfillment, don't look elsewhere. Don't make up your own plans. Don't make up plan B and C and the contingency plans and everything and the fire escape. No. Draw near to God. Focus on Jesus. Ask God, Lord, what is the lesson I must learn here? What part of my character needs to get developed so that I can handle the gift you want to bestow on me? The Holman says it in this way: be silent before the Lord and wait expectantly for Him. That's just kind of another angle. Sometimes the English language is restricting, and that is why we've got so many different translations, because we can't quite capture the Greek or the Hebrew in one English word. So that's why I say, if you want the best translation or interpretation at your disposal, you'll read a number of different translations to get a fuller picture at the same time. So having different translations is a blessing for us with our, unless of course we can read Hebrew and Greek, which very few of us can. So it's a good thing. That's why, you know, often selective when it comes to which translations we read here, just to highlight what we are trying to say. But this gives another angle. Be silent and wait expectantly. Now, when you are expectant, you're full of hope, you're full of faith, you're believing it's going to come. I.e., you're not anxious or fearful, which we often become. Then we are not acting out of faith. We are delaying the promise. What promise are you waiting for this morning? What breakthrough are you trusting God for? Are you being patient about it? Are you being expectant about it? Are you being content and being still before God? When it comes to, here's an example. You want to go on a mission trip very badly, but I mean, you need leave from work, you need finances to be able to go. And you're trusting God for that breakthrough. You're trusting the boss will say, yes, you can take a week leave. And you're trusting for $5,000 to be able to go with on this outreach. Okay. So, what do you do? Be still. Be silent before God. What we're talking about there, I've explained the patience and the expectation. Now, what we're talking about there is contentment. Being eager to go but willing to stay. That's the heart's orientation. Eager to go is like, yes, God, you've given me this promise and I'm super amped. I want to go on this mission. But being willing to stay as well. That's contentment. But it's placing it in God's hands and it's trusting God and staying close to God for it, but not making up your own plans and not throwing fits every day that it doesn't come. Okay? We know what it's like to wait. I was so excited ahead of Christian's birth because his due date was on my birthday. And I just wanted to share my birthday with my boy. I had these visions of daddy-son parties, you know, where both of us would get presents. And Christian came 9 days later. Okay, I mean, we were praying until like 10 to midnight on my birthday. I was still praying, okay, if Charlene gets a big contraction now, we can be at the hospital in 6 minutes and maybe he can still come out, you know, at 1 minute to 12. You know, like I'm in the car revving. Charlene, are you feeling anything yet? No. Okay, it wasn't quite in the car revving. The other morning we went for walks on the beach. I went to a breastfeeding clinic at the hospital. We were there. We were strategically positioned. Okay. I mean, which guy around here has been to breastfeeding clinic on their birthday? You know, I forsook I didn't make any plans for my birthday, bro. That's why I was open. I went to breastfeeding classes. Oh, praise the Lord. So, I know what it's like to wait with expectation. I mean, gee, that's not coincidence. He's due date on my birthday. This is God, you know. Now, I'm still forgoing all my birthdays because, you know, 9 days is still a bit too close to have the family over twice. So, Christian gets the presents and I get to sing happy birthday to him. But let's just please stand with me. We're going to close in prayer. Let's bow our heads. I just want to encourage you just this morning, if there's a breakthrough you're trusting God for at the moment or a big decision that you're making, if you haven't committed that to the Lord yet, there's your first mistake already. Bring it before the Lord right now. So Lord, there's some big decisions I have to make. Jobs, where I'm going to stay, that girl that I'm interested in, all of these things. Big decisions. Maybe regarding your children or your parents or grandparents. Anything relational. Any major thing you're trusting God for, big decisions. Bring it before the Lord if you haven't yet. Say, God, you know, I've kind of made these plans. I kind of got these ideas how it's going to work. But I haven't quite inquired of you what is your heart regarding this decision. Lord, I want to lay this decision down at your feet right now. I want to ask, Lord, that you reveal to me what it is that you want through this. And Lord, I ask your blessing on that. I say, Lord, let your will be done, not mine. Even, Lord, if it means waiting longer, even if it means doing a painful thing or humbling myself, having to talk to that person, Lord, let your will be done. But Lord, I want to be patient. And I want to act in faith. And I want the result that you have for me, Lord. And if you have already committed that decision on the Lord and you've been waiting a long time, I want to encourage you, wait. God is waiting with you. In fact, he's waiting for you. Is there something? If you find yourself waiting a long time, ask God, talk to him about it. Say, Lord, I haven't maybe quite thought about it this way, but what is it that you're preparing me for? And I realize maybe there's other external factors that you're waiting and orchestrating that will help me be ready. So, Lord, I don't want to be impatient here. It's not a fruit of the Spirit, Lord. I will wait because I know that you're going to give it to me at the set time, at the appointed time, when I am ready and when the other people around me are ready for this, Lord. I don't want to run ahead of you or of my family at your set time. God, I trust you. You are in control. You who made the earth and the heavens in 6 days, I'm not going to doubt you, God. I'm surrendering this decision to you, Lord. What do you want to teach me? And sometimes the things that we ask for, maybe God comes back to you and says, no, I don't want to give that to you. If I ask Christian this morning, Christian, would you like me to give you a loaded gun? He will say, yes, please. He would love to shoot a gun. He would love that. I will never give him a gun. Sometimes we don't have because we ask amiss. Another thing, Christian would love to have a big blue motorbike right now. Am I going to give it to him? No. He's not ready. He's not going to be ready for a very long time. Okay. If his mother has her way, he'll never be ready for that. So, we need to make sure we are asking correctly. Sometimes we don't realize. God knows better. He knows that that thing is not going to be good for us. Even though it doesn't seem from the outside, you know, everyone else has one, or what is wrong with that? It's not a sin. But God knows it's not right for you. I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to let it go? Do you love God more than that thing? Do you trust God to give you the best that He has for you? God, thank you that we can once more commit our lives and our decisions and the desires of our heart, ambitions to you, Lord. Come and change us, Lord. Come and transform us. Come and be Lord over our minds and our hearts, our thoughts and our desires, Lord. Let them resonate with yours. Father, we just lay down those decisions, those breakthroughs that we are waiting for. We lay it down at the foot of your cross, Jesus. And we declare, Lord, even if we don't get that, you are better. Lord, we'll be content with what we have. We will still worship you even if we don't get that, Lord. We will wait as long as it takes. We'll accept your answer. I pray for those that are too afraid this morning to ask God about that decision or that breakthrough. I pray for a boldness to come to the Lord and to know that whatever He answers, whatever He gives, and in the timing that He gives it, that it will be the right decision for you. Thank you, Lord, that you just bless us here with a greater measure of trust in you, Lord. I pray for greater faith for us, and that our faith wouldn't fail us in this time, but that we would wait patiently for your promises, Lord. I bless this congregation with patience and with faith. For you alone are God, and you are our loving Father, and you've redeemed us from the law and adopted us as sons and daughters. Thank you that we can trust you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Just every head bowed. If you are trusting God for something specific, or you find yourself in a place where you're waiting on God for something, you just raise your hand. I just want to pray a blessing here. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, that thank you, Lord, that you know us better than we know ourselves. You know our situations. You know the desires of our heart. And thank you, Lord, that you're busy at work in us, bringing the desires of our heart in line with yours. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless each one here that has raised their hands, Lord. And you know it's all of us, pretty much all of us here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless us, Lord. Bless us, Lord God, to be able to learn from you in this time. Shape our character, Lord. Give us the grace to learn what we need to speedily, Lord, without having to take extra trips through the desert, Father. Let us learn it first time round. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless each one here with the desires of their heart as they continue to seek you and to trust you. So I thank you, Lord, for breakthrough that will be to the glory of your name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. It's been great spending some time with you all. And we've got to get out of here now. Our time is up. The set time has come. Have a great week. Bless each of you. Bye.